Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
Kempire is brought to you by
Washington, D.C. The Kempire After Dark, the Villain Era live tour is coming to your city on August 22nd. But before that, we're coming to Philly on July 10th at City Winery. Then we're going to Atlanta on August 5th. Then we're going to Washington, D.C. And this is going to be an all new show, all new hot topics, all new reality TV conversation, and all kinds of amazing guests and surprises. Be sure to get your tickets today. And don't forget, we're coming back to New York City on September 12th. Go get your tickets. There's also a live stream option exclusively for the New York City show. More information will be available in the description.
You're listening to Kempire here on the Kempire Radio Network.
Oh, we're making some time today for your weekend update. Here on the Kempire podcast exclusively, so you will not see this on YouTube. You might hear it in the podcast version on YouTube, but usually hear that a little bit later. Shout out to our podcast fam. You know, we've been doing this sort of weekend update. I've dropped them on Sundays. I've dropped them on Saturdays. Today, it's Sunday. It's another cloudy day here in New York City. It's not raining. It was, we had a little bit of drizzle yesterday, but it was cloudy as well. Be sure to let me know where you are and what the weather is there. Shout out to those of you that listen on Spotify. What I do love about the Spotify, for those that want to interact with me, you can comment there. We can also do polls and things like that on the Spotify podcast version. So shout out to those of you that have been listening to us on Spotify. We appreciate you guys as well. We appreciate all of our subscribers. Be sure to hit me up as well, The Kempire on X, on not me using X and not Twitter, and on Blue Sky, and of course on Threads. Threads is still thriving. Threads is thriving. Okay, that should probably be their campaign. All right, speaking of thriving, this woman is not so thriving, but she's apologizing. Patti LuPone. We have not done a video, like a long-form video. We've done short-form video talking about Audra McDonald, 6-time Tony Award-winning, 11-time nominated Tony nominee. Audra McDonald, the star of the revival of Gypsy on Broadway, and Keisha Lewis are receiving an apology. Okay. Oh wait, I'm mixing this up. So first of all, we did a video, a short-form video, talking about Audra McDonald responding to Patti LuPone's shade in the New Yorker interview that she did. In that New Yorker interview, Patti LuPone basically said that Audra McDonald is no friend of hers. Okay. She also referred to Keisha Lewis, the star of Hell's Kitchen and Tony Award winner as well, and now Grammy winner as well. She referred to her as the B word. What? Mm-hmm. She did. So the Broadway community, the community in general, have been rallying behind both Audra and Keisha and against Patti LuPone. And as you know, look, I've seen Patti LuPone over the years say all kinds of things, and everyone just said she's just a diva. Until she made a noise complaint against the cast of Hell's Kitchen, and everyone's like, here comes this Karen, okay? Audra McDonald's connection to this was because Audra, in a post where Keisha was blasting Patti LuPone for what she did, Audra dropped some emojis in support. Audra, in response to the Patti LuPone New Yorker interview, basically said that she has not seen Patti LuPone in 11 years. She doesn't know what this rift could be about. So she basically was paying her dues, Patti LuPone. And as I said before, Patti LuPone has said things over the years that people are just sort of like, okay, she's just a Broadway diva. She is just, you know, very, very like committed to the art of Broadway and real singing and things like that. Well, she was not ready for the community, both the Broadway community and the Black community, to rally behind these amazing women in Broadway. I'm like, you're not going to be making these microaggressive comments towards these women because you're renowned in theater. Well, the theater community did a whole open letter. And after they did that open letter blasting her, she's now apologizing for the first time in her how many years career. So our friends over at NBC News, who we've been utilizing during our Diddy trial updates, for those that may have missed it, be sure to check that out here exclusively on the podcast. You can see the video versions, but the podcast, I'm actually adding stuff because a lot of times when I do the Diddy updates, more information comes across my desk and I'm like, okay, I'm going to include this in the podcast version. So shout out to those of you that listen to both. We appreciate you guys. So Broadway legend Patti LuPone has apologized for her, quote, flippant and emotional remarks she made about fellow marquee actors in a New Yorker magazine interview. The mea culpa came via LuPone's social media account Saturday after more than 600 members of the Broadway community signed an open letter condemning the three-time Tony winner's controversial comments about Keisha Lewis and Audra McDonald. The letter addressed the American Theater Wing and the Broadway League, criticized LuPone for calling Lewis a B and saying that McDonald is, quote, not a friend in the New Yorker profile. This language is not only degrading and misogynistic, it is a blatant act of racialized disrespect. It constitutes bullying. It constitutes harassment, the letter said. Theater publication Playbill reported that signatories to the letter included Tony Award winners James Monroe Iglehart, Malia Joy Moon, and Wendell Pierce. So, Patti LuPone issued an apology in regards to this. So it seems as if the Broadway community did not rally around both Audra and Keisha, I don't think that we would get this apology. But here we are. Let's get into this apology. So she says this, Patti LuPone. She says, for as long as I have worked in theater, I have spoken my mind and never apologized. That is changing today. I am deeply sorry for the words I used during the New Yorker interview, particularly about Keisha Lewis, which were demeaning and disrespectful. I regret my flippant and emotional responses during this interview, which were inappropriate, and I am devastated that my behavior has offended others and has run counter to what we hold dear in this community. I hope to have the chance to speak to Audra and Keisha personally to offer my sincere apologies. I wholeheartedly agree with everything that was written in the open letter shared yesterday. From middle school drama clubs to professional stages, theater has always been about lifting each other up and welcoming those who feel they don't belong anywhere else. I made a mistake, I take full responsibility for it, and I'm committed to making this right. Our entire theater community deserves better. Patti LuPone. Do you guys think that Patti should have reached out to both Keisha and Audra before releasing a public statement? I mean, regardless, she says that she's going to reach out to them, but maybe at the time she felt like they wouldn't respond because she hadn't made a public apology, thinking that it would just be this personal apology. But I'm big on don't apologize because you're getting backlash. Apologize when you really mean it and feel it and it's sincere. This statement feels as if it is more about public opinion than it is about her being truly sorry. You said what you said, and you've said what you've said over the years. You were not prepared that the community, both the theater and the Black community, and just people that respect these two women, would come up against you. You've gotten away with being microaggressive, and I'm not even just talking racially, just microaggressive towards anyone that you deemed inferior. And here you are now with your tail between your legs, apologizing. Do I believe Patti LuPone is sorry? No. She's also a woman of a particular age. She said what she said. She meant it. She's only apologizing because she's still working in this industry and wants to continue to work in this industry. Fine, Patti. It will be interesting to see how. I did not expect for this, because I remember when this first started, I was like, uh-oh. And then it just grew legs. And here we are, full circle, in regards to Patti LuPone and her apology. Literally, I just finished watching Agatha All Along. Is it all? Yeah, Agatha All Along on Disney Plus. This was before the drama started, and Patti LuPone is one of the stars of that movie. And I was like, oh my gosh, she's actually really good in this. No one's going to take away from Patti LuPone's talent, but also people are not going to forget how mean she has been over the years and how she continues to be mean. She just didn't realize in 2025 we were not here for it. If anything, I was just reminded how great Audra McDonald is, and it reminded me that I need to go see Gypsy on Broadway before she's no longer in it. She's also nominated. The Tony Awards happen next week, so she might be adding another one to her mantle. Okay, and congratulations to Keisha Lewis. I need to go see Hell's Kitchen as well. There's so many shows that I want to go see. I just hate going to Times Square. That is what deters me. Like, I will rather go while I'm in London to the West End, which, again, it could be kind of touristy as well, obviously, but it doesn't feel the same. It doesn't feel like, oh my God, all these people kind of thing. But anyway, I say all that to say, so that is the latest update. Patti LuPone has issued a public apology to Keisha Lewis and to Audra McDonald. Let's move on, because I have a lot of Bravo stuff to talk about. Okay, where do I want to begin? Let's first talk about Family Karma. Family Karma, bring back Family Karma. We were just talking about this, I think, last week, because Amrit and Nicholas announced that they're expecting a child. And I was like, all right. I also mentioned when I reported that, bring back Family Karma, because Monica and Rish were supposed to be getting married. They announced their engagement. But if you are a fan of Family Karma, then you know that Rish and Monica have had this up and down, on again, off again relationship. And technically, I think we all agree they should have never really gotten engaged, but we were like, fine, maybe they figured it out. Well, apparently the engagement is off, Lord. Because Monica took to social media this morning, last night, to basically call out Rish and tag him and say that he's a cheater, cheater, pumpkin eater. Girl, we told you that he's a cheater, cheater, pumpkin eater. If anything, I'm more impressed, because they've got some Magnum condoms that she's including in these photos. Come on. The context clues, like, oh, Rish is packing. Anyway, I digressed. But she took to social media to blast him, and now he's responding. We'll get to his response in a second. But Monica Vaswani posted on her Instagram story, it's still there at the time of this recording, and she says, so done with all the lies. This isn't the same girl that was blinded by you while filming. Then she says, did you think I was that dumb? And then she at Rish on social media. And it's over a picture of condoms that she discovered. She didn't say. She then includes in her next Instagram story, I guess, a message from a young woman that said, I'm assuming, okay, that it's a young woman. It could be anybody. I mean, come on. I'm not accusing Rish of anything, but I don't know. All we see is a text exchange. It says, we kissed. He said he was single, wanted to see me today. Good luck. And this was at 12:36 a.m. All right. So Rish took to his social media to respond. And it's actually interesting, because if you remember Family Karma, then you kind of remember Monica and how she blindly was loyal to this guy. Monica was never really my favorite on the show. I didn't mind her. What I liked about her is that she was an important figure, because she was very traditional, and she would show that she would be the one that people go to when it comes to traditional dances and preparing for things like that. Monica, he adds Monica, Rish, and says, Monica and I have not been together for over a month. Okay, maybe she's discovering things now, though. Over a month is not that long ago, sir. He says, Monica and I have not been together for over a month. She entered my apartment unannounced and without my permission while I was traveling out of the country, went through my personal belongings, and took out of context photos to post on social media. I never cheated on her and only wanted to give her my absolute best while we were in a relationship. Remember, though, if you remember watching Family Karma, there were allegations of cheating. We didn't really have solid proof, but there were allegations of cheating, which is part of the reason why people were shocked that they ended up getting engaged later. He says, it's unfortunate it didn't work out, and she asked me to not openly talk about us splitting up as she needed time to process. Unfortunately, my kindness was taken advantage of, and she took control of the narrative, which is manipulative, unacceptable, and disgusting. Oof. I mean, and it could be, like, who broke up with who? It sounds like he broke up with her, and that's how she's responding. Where's Andy in the cameras at this particular point? He then includes a screenshot of her dad helping her move out. He says her parents assisted her with her moving out of our apartment on April 21st of 2025, which is depicted in this photo. I've been single ever since. Well, at least he's being responsible and he's got Magnum condoms. Wait, hey, no, no, hey now.
How you doing?
Oh, okay, I'm not saying, hey, how you doing for that, but I'm just saying, like, I was impressed. I was like, okay. But yeah, so Monica and Rish are no longer engaged, and we're not able to chronicle any of this as it's happening. Bravo, we will never forgive you for doing this to us. We should be able to chronicle everything that's happening right now when it comes to Family Karma. And what I loved about Family Karma was the fact that it felt like one of those last shows on television that were authentic. And I know there were some very produced moments on Family Karma. I'm never going to take away from that. There were. However, the aunties and uncles were so funny. It was a whole other culture that we were getting introduced to in their traditions. And they were funny. They were naturally funny. We had two big Indian weddings in their last season. Their last season was their best. They ended on top. Their ratings were fairly good, better than Summer House's current ratings. If we're being honest, if I recall correctly. But they did pretty well, and I never understood why they were put on pause. But a lot of people said, well, Bravo doesn't value people of color or black women. Well, then there's that. Okay, look, then there's that. I don't know. I feel like it's so sad that we're not able to see the aunts and uncles and the kids and things like that. I don't necessarily want to be a vulture when it comes to what's going on with Monica and have this play out. It's just a reminder that there's so much going on in their lives and we miss them and we want to see that. But I wish Monica the best. I hope, Monica, what Rish is saying is not true, because that is pretty foul of you to expose him, or I put in quotes, expose him, when it really wasn't exposing him. And it's just you being upset that you guys decided not to get married, which he strung you along for a long time. So, Rish, you're not completely innocent, because we had how many seasons of you sort of like stringing her along? Girl, when people show you who they are the first time, believe them. He probably just proposed to you thinking maybe it would garner some sort of possible storyline. Maybe, I don't know, for the new season. I don't know. I always go back to that. Like, is this a scheme that Todd set up for the Family Karma cast to come to us with the BS? I'm okay with it, though. Come to us with the BS. We miss you guys. All right. Okay, so there is some Real Housewives of Atlanta-related news that we need to get into. Apollo Nida apparently had a secret child that he's now revealing in a new podcast. Okay, let's get to that. My Lord. Let me pull this up. I'm going to put this on a fast forward, because it's just, it's a lot. It's a lot. And at the same time, I'm sort of like, Apollo, is this your way of making money? Because I said this to you guys before. How is Apollo making money? I don't know how Apollo's making money. And I think this might be some sort of scheme to have some sort of storyline to maybe bring him on the next season of Real Housewives of Atlanta, or add to Phaedra's lack of having a storyline situation. I don't know. Because remember, I said this before, it was just a few weeks ago where Apollo was being blasted. Not a few weeks ago, that was just maybe like last week, where Shireen was blasting Apollo for cheating on social media. A few weeks before that, he was praising Shireen on social media, talking about how great she is. And that's like, didn't you guys just file for divorce a couple of months ago? I thought you guys were divorcing. Apparently, they were trying to figure things out. I don't know. I'm using context clues in order to determine what's happening here. Well, so in this new interview, shout out to those of you that were sending me the link because I would have never seen this. And honestly, I really don't even care. I don't care for Apollo to come on any reality show to talk about a long lost son because you've been out of, he's talking about in this interview that he discovered this while he was incarcerated. So the many times that we've seen you since then, Apollo, why has this never been something that's been brought up or mentioned? Why haven't you posted? Because if I had found a long lost son that I didn't know about, even though he claims, you know, I always felt that there I had a son out there.
Lies, the lie.
We have to remember that Apollo is a two-time convicted felon. Right? It was felonies that he's been convicted of lying and stealing people's identities. So we have to remember that. I know he's good looking, and I think sometimes we allow good looking people to get away with stuff, but not me. And this is someone that it finds him attractive. I don't let attractive people blind me, okay? I see right through it, Apollo. But let me play this for you. I'm going to play this in a speedy way, okay, so that we can get through this. Because I've listened to it in non-speed. So now I'm trying to get through it so I can include it for the weekend podcast so we can get to some more Real Housewives of Atlanta stuff to talk about.
We're here for a long time. Photos coming. Hold tight. Just don't, right. Chill. I got you. Yeah, so look what they did, man. Those people, they despise me, bro. Let me tell you what they did. So you could not seal the letter.
He's talking about the officers in the prison.
So they take my letter.
They got to read your stuff.
Yeah, they got to read it. Make sure it's like, right. They take my letter, two envelopes. One's addressed.
He's talking about letters. Okay, that when he receives in jail, where they have to be unopened.
To New Jersey somewhere or wherever, one's addressed to Philadelphia, mm-hmm. Right? They take my letter out of this one, switch it, put the letter to the girl for the pictures in the letter in the envelope that's going to be addressed to Shireen, and then vice versa, right?
Oh, they set you up like that. So you're not even thinking, like, she's going to get these.
No, I'm not thinking about none of that, right? So, yeah, so that's the thing. Like, Shireen, she was definitely, like, a rider for real. Like, she would hold it down. So visitation would be, like, first 10, first come, you know, first.
She was such a rider that you cheated on her at least twice.
Or whatever. So, you know, she would sleep in the car the night before to make sure that I, you know, could get a visit because, you know, I'm, that's the thing too. You can only get one phone call a month, no commissary. You just like, you know, you're.
This is rough right there.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure. So that visit, I came in there and it's quick too. Like you might get a 30-minute visit. The count might catch you up. You might get, who knows, 20, you know, it just is what it is. So man, she came in and she was looking all like, she, you know, bought new stuff and this thing. I'm like, yo, what's up with you?
She came through, she looking good. She got her new fit, like.
Okay. Yeah. So next thing you know, she sits down, she starts like grilling me about the girl and all this stuff. I was like, yo, what are you talking about? She's like, oh, you're lying, you're cheating. I'm like, no.
I'm a cheating hit. Yeah, hopefully you're not cheating.
Yeah, exactly, right? So yeah, I was like, yo, she's like, oh, I got the letter. They sent me the letter. I'm like, what? So I told her, she didn't believe me, that it was for Maselli. Like, he wanted to get some photos.
She wasn't buying that.
Nah, she didn't buy that.
She's not buying it at all.
So then the next week, I want to say that Wednesday, literally the night before, so that Tuesday, Maselli, you know, we're talking and he's like, yo, do you have some kids out there you might not know about? And I was like, man, it's funny that you mentioned that because sometimes I have this instinct, something just hits me. Like, it'd just be a normal day and I get smacked over the head like by a feeling.
And this is coming from someone, I'm talking about me, that believes in intuitive impulses and things like that. Intuitively, I do not believe Apollo. I think Apollo knew. But he's going to play the narrative like he didn't know. But instinctively, you know, I always thought, okay, Apollo.
Like, you might.
Lies!
And my brother, sometimes he's like, yo, do you think there's another you out there somewhere? I was like, nah, just, you know, Aiden and Dylan. I was like, nah. Wednesday comes. This is Tuesday night that we had this conversation.
You and about the notes or the letters, or you and your guy?
Me and the guy. Me and the cellmate. The notes and stuff was the week before. Mm. So Wednesday comes, boom, I go to visit. I'm sitting in visit, and she's like, do you know what such and such? I'm like, yo.
Not again.
Chill out.
Like, come on,
this man. Was last week. Like, I don't know what you're talking about this time. She's like, no, think about it. Do you know such and such? I said, well, I know this person that has that name. I said, I know.
So she's asking you girl's name.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm like, no, literally. I said, yeah, I do. I know this particular girl. I just broke down in tears, though, right in the visitation. She's like, yo, I have some news for you. I was like, I already know. She's like, you have a son. I said, man, I fucking knew it, man. I fucking knew it. I was like,
I'm sorry. I'm watching the videos. So, and you know what? I'll link it in the description so you can watch it yourself if you want to. His body language, his voice is telling me that he's not telling the truth. And maybe, okay, you'll get it by the end of the video. I don't want to spoil this for you.
But
okay, this is crazy.
It was wild.
So you're telling me in the visitation room, she's asking you questions, grilling you. Like, you know.
Yeah, I'm thinking she's bringing back that.
Yeah, the girl.
I didn't do it this time.
Right,
I didn't put no letter. I didn't put no letter. I didn't write nobody. I quit the picture.
Right, I stopped. Yeah, yeah. I put my pen down.
So now the COs must have wrote the letter and put it in there.
Right, it really set you up.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. And she said, you got a son.
Yeah.
And you instantly know. Like, you feel
yeah, man. Just, I broke down in tears, man. I started crying. The officers over there, like, yo, what in the world? You all right? I was like, man, I knew it. And she was like, yeah, you got a son. And she was like, she's like, and from what I see, like, she was like, yo, the mannerisms, like, he looks like you, you know? She was like, I was like, well, how did you find this out? And she was like,
that's what I'm about to ask. Like, so, like, how do you just get this information? Somebody come knock on her door, like?
No, she used to, so my management, they used to monitor my Instagram and stuff.
Oh,
so,
while you're waiting stuff.
Yeah,
Henley, okay.
Yeah, so there was a DM from someone that was like, hey, I just want to know if, you know, you might be my dad, my long lost father out there.
Hold on.
I'm reaching out.
So the kid reached out?
Yeah, the kid.
What world do we live in that a felon has a management managing his social media? Okay.
What in the world?
Yeah, he reached out. He was like, yo, you might. Oh, he's like, man, I was looking in the mirror and
I seen you on TV.
Yeah, he's like, man, I just. It was weird because I'm like, what if this was a hoax, right?
Yeah, the whole time. So, okay.
What if he's trying to play me, right? And just try to get underneath me? Like,
right. Like, first of all, you don't tell me I got a son. So, what in the world is the next step?
Yeah, so Shireen was like, yo, we got to check this out. So she contacted my brother. She flew down to Atlanta just to see. Like,
see the kid?
Yeah,
to see the kid. Stay in Atlanta, Georgia?
He was in Atlanta.
Wow.
The whole time.
The whole damn
time. I'm from Atlanta, born in Atlanta, bro. Like, the whole time. The whole time.
So,
and mind you, I'm 30. Yeah, 34.
Okay, 34, so what's going through your head? You get this information, they're like, yo, nah, like, you got a kid. Like, are you like, you're sold because you say you're crying about it. So,
yeah, so their visitation was over with, mm-hmm. right? I still don't really know. So I go back and I, you know, chop it up with the cellie or whatnot. And I was like, yo, you won't believe this. So at that point, I'm like.
Oh, the same video y'all was laughing about.
Yeah, the night before. Yeah. So I'm just waiting. And one day I got some mail. And it was, because I told you I had to write out for 90 days. I get mail and it's the kid, the pictures and everything.
Oh, she sent you pictures of the kid?
She sent me pictures of the kid. And I was like, wow, this is the. And then my brother wrote a letter and said, look, if that's not your son, he was like, man, that's a good prank. He's like, man, they're gonna take all your money. So they want back child support.
Yeah, you had to come cover some ground. Yeah.
What? That's for real? I said, this man's coming to get money from me. I'm
trying to milk you. Right. That's terrible. So, so your family got to meet him. They got to see the guy.
Yeah.
Okay. So they meet the guy. At some point, though, you can't just take somebody under your wing. Did you have to get a DNA test? There's no way you just said, oh, this is my son.
I was ready to go. Yeah, because I didn't know. I was trying to suave and put it in an envelope to mail it out. But I'm like, you know.
So they did ask for a DNA test.
No, I need to get one. I need to figure this out.
Okay.
This is real. So I'm trying to, like, figure out how I can get
it. How you get a DNA test from in prison, though?
Oh, because I took the paper, right, the notebook paper, and I chewed it up, right, got my saliva on it, and I put it in an envelope, and I mailed it out.
Okay.
Right? And they were able to get it off the paper.
Gotcha. Oh, no, that didn't happen?
Nah.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I'm no scientist, but scientists weigh in. Is that possible? Yes. I think initially, if you were to do that, but you know, if you did a DNA test before, you had to put it in, like, an actual container in order to safeguard the DNA. This is where it's not making sense for me. Again, I am not a scientist. I'm not saying that you can't find DNA, because clearly they find DNA when you've, you know, taken someone's life. DNA can exist. But I'm sort of...
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1-pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to aero hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
Thinking to myself, how accurate is all of this? I just don't believe Apollo. And the fact that this is all coming out at this particular time, he's been incarcerated. He was incarcerated how many years ago? He's been free for how many years? And no one ever put two and two together. He never came out. He never posted on social. He posts about everything else. He's been on reality TV since then. And you've never seemed to mention that your long lost son.
Gotcha. So yeah, how did they pull that procedure?
So I had to get my mom. I was like, you can do it through the grandparent. You know what I'm
okay,
saying?
Okay.
So yeah, so the grandparent, my mom went and met the individual. And from what I know, she was like, oh, come here, baby. I love you.
Oh, so she just took someone like that?
Yeah. She's like, I it don't matter. Yeah, I think you're his.
It's good enough, yeah. Forget the test. So they, yeah. so your mother meets with the son and they get a DNA test.
Yeah.
How long, like, what's the process with the test? How long does that take?
You know, I'm still incarcerated. I'm still in the shoe. And they're doing all this. So 90 days have passed and I think I'm getting out at this point. And so I'm on the phone trying to figure it out. And I got some legal mail. The results came in the legal mail. And then what?
Yeah, and then what?
It says that the kid's mine. You are the father.
Yo.
Yeah.
So you telling me...
This kid is like not even 21 at that time. Mm-hmm. 2021. So I'm like, yo, I need to speak to him. Or whatever. So I think we started talking on the phone.
Oh, so you got to talk to the kid.
Yeah, I finally got to speak
to him. So did you speak to him before you confirmed the DNA? Or did you... Mm-mm. Oh, you waited.
Yeah,
waited. Tight.
Just to confirm.
Like, yeah, because that would be really weird. Like, you can't just be like, hey, you can't do that.
Hey.
Yeah, that's weird.
So, that was confirmed. We spoke on the phone. And I was just like, hey, you know, you want to... come up here, come see me, da da da. And he was like, yeah, you know how you do it? I said, you gotta go on a visitation list. So, you know, the kid was pretty smart. So he, went on the bureau site, mailed in all the proper documents. Mm-hmm. And then next thing you know, I think he came with Shireen, winds up picking him up from the airport or whatnot. I don't even know if he ever been on a plane, you know?
Right.
I think it was his first plane ride, mm-hmm. you know? And then, man, when he came into visitation, I was
okay, like, so you, this is the date. You about to meet this guy that you just come, first off, pop out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
You just confirmed we got a DNA test.
Oh, remember, I'm telling you, I always got smacked in the head with the premonition that
something was, could be there.
Yeah. God used to tell me all the time, son, yo, you got a kid out here.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like,
That's bogus.
Yeah, that's bogus.
Yeah. So with that understanding, it's the first day about to meet him in the flesh. What in the world is going through your mind?
Well,
are you still skeptical? Because at the time, it's like, I kind of like, this is wild. Like, this is a prank. Like,
now I'm just rolling with it. Man, I need some excitement.
Yeah,
I'm,
yeah,
I'm in jail. I got
it.
Like,
might as well spice it up a little
bit. Yeah, now it's like, man, okay, you know? And the guy comes to the visit, man. And when I seen him, I was just in awe, man. For real. I broke down crying again. I gave him a hug. I was just like.
So you've seen it? Like, as soon as you seen
yeah,
him?
Yeah, man. I did. I was like, whoa, this is something else. This is
right.
This was, dude. Yeah, it was definitely a shift. I was like, shit.
You got a lot of explaining to do.
Or maybe he does. I don't know. Somebody's got to tell me something here because this is weird. You know what I'm saying?
So you're telling me, so you see him and you're crying.
Yeah.
Is he emotional as well?
He didn't break down crying. Like, I think he was maybe a little emotional, but he was holding it together. I don't know what he was going through, but I'm sure he was definitely, there was a lot of things going on, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, so you see this kid, you talk to this kid, you see him. Do y'all still speak to this day? How what's the communication like all the way up to this point?
Oh yeah, we're locked in.
You're locked in?
Oh yeah, me and him is locked in.
Cause we don't see this guy anywhere. Like what's going on?
Yeah, we're locked in like two peas in a pod.
So
it was cool though, because like when I came home, we build the bond, you know, right? So we're doing all that stuff, talking on the phone every day, whatnot. Sometimes there's a disconnect sometimes, you know what I'm saying? It's just because, you know, life goes, but I mean, we're locked in. We're pretty locked in, man.
So you call this man right now?
Oh yeah, right now.
Well, they pull up on you.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Sure. So with all of that going on, it's a lot of moving pieces. When's the last time you spoke to this person?
Well, I mean, you really want to know?
Yeah, no, like, for real, that's
I'm speaking to him right now.
What do you mean?
I'm speaking. You're the guy. Yeah.
Oh, what do you mean?
You're the guy.
Yeah. When nobody going to tell me I'm interviewing my father today?
Man.
Y'all wasn't going to say nothing? What do you mean? Yeah, it's just like that. Yeah. That's how it's done. You're speaking to him right now.
Yeah. How you doing, man?
So that's the big reveal at the end of this interview. Apollo's being interviewed by his long-lost son. Am I just getting... what's the word? I don't even know what the word is because I just don't believe the story that Apollo is giving us. I always have to remind myself, Apollo is also accused twice of what he's been accused of lying, basically, and stealing. So I always have to keep that in mind when it comes to Apollo and any narrative that he wants to put out in regards to this. I find it just so interesting, the timing of all of this. But Apollo Nida has a secret long-lost son. I will say the son is handsome. I will give him that. The son is handsome. He does look like Apollo. Again, this is a new podcast called Any Second Podcast. I don't know if this is going to be Apollo and his son doing the podcast or just his son's podcast, but fine. You can subscribe if you want to. I am checking out. Let's get into some other Housewives news. I do want to send, first of all, happy birthday. Happy Gemini season. Also, happy birthday to Monyetta Shaw. So Monyetta Shaw revealed on her birthday that she was diagnosed with breast cancer. Okay. Shout out to our friends over at the Bravo Shade Room. They write this, happy birthday, Monyetta. According to People Magazine, Monyetta was diagnosed with breast cancer. May 31st is a special day for Monyetta as it is her birthday, but also the day she shared her battle with cancer. She says, I was diagnosed with stage 1 invasive ductal carcinoma in November of 2024 and had a lumpectomy in January of 2025. Since then, she has completed her radiation as of May 2nd and now turns 45 today, May 31st, and is feeling good. Manietta told People she had a biopsy 10 years ago and it came back benign. Then last year in September, I was doing a self-check because I felt this random sensation that I can't really describe in my left boob. It was like nothing I've ever felt before. It was literally like my body was alerting me that something was wrong. That's powerful. A month later, the doctors found a lump, and by November, Manietta was diagnosed with a slow-growing stage 1 invasive ductal carcinoma. I'm so glad she paid attention to her body because it's at stage 1. So it's treatable. So she says, because I caught the cancer early, I will be here for my kids. Further stating, there's nothing more important than getting checked often and early to protect your future. Our health is irreplaceable. I can't thank my exceptional doctors and nurses enough. They are my heroes. They are our heroes, she says. Manietta says that her former RHOA co-stars and friends have been there for her and supported her through this, sharing that she told Candy Burris Tucker, who sent a huge bouquet of flowers and has truly been there for her. She also received support from Portia Williams, Shamia Morton, Sheree Whitfield, and Cynthia Bailey after telling them as well. Not only have the ladies been supportive, but her ex, Neo, has as well. She says, Manietta says that Neo was just showing up for me in a major way and just always asking and making sure everything was okay. He was like, oh, you're going to beat this. So I think that's beautiful. And shout out to Manietta. Happy belated birthday. And I'm so glad that you are in a better space. Let's talk about Shamia Morton. As you know, tonight is a new episode of The Real Housewives of Atlanta. They're going on their Grenada trip. And Shamia, in an interview, is doubling down in regards to why she decided to film with Ralph and Portia. But in this double down, she's now saying that she kind of was doing it also that so that Portia could get her lick back.
Deal about Drew hanging out with Dennis, her ex. What do you think about Portia then filming with Drew's ex, Ralph?
I think we know what Shamia thinks.
I think it's okay. I'm the one that invited her.
Yeah. It was just the dinner, disclaimer, that we were all at. I just felt like I needed a witness so that everyone knows that Ralph and I were not on a date. Mm-hmm. Ralph and I have worked together in the past. I hosted a podcast. It was like The Real Husbands of Atlanta with Todd, Candy's husband, and it was strictly business, right, helping a friend out.
A podcast that lasted all of 2 days, probably.
I'm still married. There's no interest there for me. So I needed it to be very clear. That's why I brought Portia along. And then, you know, I let her get her a little lick back.
Yeah.
And then she sticks her tongue out and then she looks at the audience. Oh, my God.
Portia made a very big deal about Drew hanging out with Dennis, her ex. What do you think about Portia then filming with Drew's ex, Ralph?
Anyway, so I say all that to say, Shamia, your loyalty has now blown up in your own face because you're loyal to someone that has never really been loyal to you, for those that have been watching Real Housewives of Atlanta for a long time. So there's no shock that this is blowing up in your face and that you went from being, quote, the glue. I never said that, but the social media, including herself, said that she's the glue that connects everyone and she has this $9 million house. I'm still open to Shamia. Maybe in next season, if she's not friends with Portia, she can have her own voice and we can see her real self. But some people are saying this is her real self. The fact that she's been friends with Portia this long tells you a lot about who she is as a person. Okay, Shamia. I agree. I wish you would have just owned it on Watch What Happens Live and says, you know, I was being petty. That's why I invited Portia. But the obsession with Drew, it's definitely getting weird at this particular point. But it is what it is. But I was making sure I was scrolling and Shamia commented on the Bravo Shade Room and saying, OMG, laughing. She put the laughing emoji and then she put, OMG, it was a joke. And then she puts the rolling eye emoji. It was a joke, girl. Come on. It's the obvious reason why you filmed that scene was to get your lick back. That was the truth. You know, some people say there's always some truth in a joke. But that was the real truth, is the fact that you wanted Portia to have an opportunity to get her lick back. It wasn't because you were trying to help Ralph and some sort of podcast. First of all, why would Ralph come to you? You don't have a thriving podcast. And the podcast that you did with Ralph did not do anything. So why would he come to you for advice on a podcast? We know the real reason you did this scene was to get your lick back for your friend and to come at Drew. Girl, just say what it is. People will like you more if you just own the fact that you're a villain. Oh, my goodness. All right. In our weekend update, we did a video yesterday talking about Monique reuniting with her son, Shalon. We also talked about Brian McKnight and his son, Nico McKnight. His son, Nico, passed away after a 2-year battle with cancer. So, of course, I wanted to make sure our podcast fam was up to date in regards to some of Nico's last tweets in the last few months that talked about wanting to reunite with his father. And then also I wanted to talk about how Monique and Shalon were able to reunite and get over their issues. It's a family reunion. Monique and her son, who was just blasting her last year on social media, have reunited. And now he's taking to social media to apologize publicly to his mother. And sadly, Brian McKnight's son, Nico McKnight, passes away after a 2-year battle with cancer. So let's start off with Nico McKnight. This is a story that we've been following for a few years now when it comes to Brian McKnight and him being estranged, particularly by his own choice, estranged from his children. And it was one of the last reports that we did was the fact that Nico had been battling cancer. And I believe it was Monique Slaughter who went out on social media and said, "Why are you doing this, Brian?" Because he had said something on social media. I can't remember because there's been so much back and forth over the years when it comes to Brian McKnight disowning his children publicly and even naming his new son Brian McKnight Jr., even though there is already a Brian McKnight Jr. and a third. She pointed out, like, "Why are you doing this?" Literally, Nico is battling cancer. And that's when the public found out that one of his children, Nico, was battling cancer. According to reports, he was battling colon cancer. It was confirmed by Nico's uncle, Claude McKnight, that he had passed away just the other day. Our friends over at The Griot write this. They said that Nico McKnight, a singer and guitarist who also happens to be the estranged son of R&B star Brian McKnight, has reportedly died after a battle with cancer. The news was confirmed by the brother of Brian, Claude McKnight, in a video posted to TikTok on May 29th. The date Nico passed away has not been confirmed as of yet, nor his age at the time. According to sources, he was 32 years old. As you may recall, Nico and his siblings made headlines some years ago as personal matters turned public when it was revealed that Brian had an estranged relationship with several of his children. As recently as 2024, he had referred to his 4 oldest children, Brian Jr., Nico, Brianna, and Clyde, as, quote, products of sin, saying that in order to live a life that you love, you have to get rid of evil and the negativity, even if that evil and negativity is related to you. Claude didn't address the family drama in his video. Let's take a look at what Claude had to say, because I felt like it was actually a really beautiful tribute to Nico's life. But he talks a little bit about the drama within the family.
So all day, I said to myself, I wasn't going to post about this. And as the day wore on, I realized that how could I not post about this? This morning, I found out that my nephew, Nico McKnight, passed away. He'd been bravely battling cancer for the last 2 years or so. And I have a lot of feelings right now. I'm not going off a script or anything like that. I'm just going to be raw with how I'm feeling. Nico was one of those amazing kids who was quirky and curious and ridiculously talented. Amazing singer, an amazing guitar player, had a great eye, was a photographer. And just one of those kids that, at least in my estimation, was somebody you always wanted to be around. And so it really sucks that he's no longer with us. And I will also say, probably one of the reasons why I wasn't going to post about it is I post a lot of things, but I don't post a lot of really, really serious subject things. or certainly family things. And I wanted to post this about Nico, about his legacy, about how amazing he is, and not about what some of you may have heard about, you know, the family drama that has existed for quite some time in our family. I'm not here to discuss that or to talk about how that happened or why it happened. This is not the time or the place, but what I will say is, in any situation, there's always at least three sides to a story. There's my side, your side, and the truth. And the truth, a lot of times, is somewhere in between. So here's the thing. I don't know exactly what was going on there. I know what I've seen. I know what I've heard from all parties involved. And I try not to judge. I just try to be as loving to each person as I can be, because apparently there's so much hurt going on, or was so much hurt going on, that a lot of things didn't get resolved. And again, I want to go back to Nico. I know that kid had a lot inside, a lot eating at him for a long, long, long time. That may have contributed to what happened with him. What I do know is he's out of pain now. And so I can rejoice in the fact that he no longer has to go through the chemo and the radiation and everything else. But I just want to uplift that young man and say we will see him again one day. I love you, Nico. Uncle Claude.
Wow. I thought that was a beautiful message, especially with all of what was going on within Brian McKnight's family. It's good to know that there were people still around Nico supporting him. There were more things. Because we've covered this story and the estrangement within this family, I've discovered that there were some posts that Nico made in regards to his relationship with his father as he was battling cancer. So this is what Nico said in a few different tweets. He says, "When I was about to die in the hospital from complications from my cancer, I just wanted to bury the hatchet and hear him say he loves me. And he told me he couldn't arbitrarily tell me he loves me. Still cuts so deep." He posted that in April of last year. Nico also said in April of last year, "Sometimes I wonder if my dad's karma is my close proximity to death. Like maybe if I end up dying, it will release him from this grip of evil." Then in September of last year, Nico posted this tweet saying, "If I could just have one more group hug between me, my brother, my mom, and my dad, I truly be ready." And in another tweet in October of last year, Nico says, "Every day I feel so embarrassed by how things went with our dad. When you're faced with a situation like mine, it quickly shows you what really matters. And family matters the most. I miss my family so much. Everyone." So when we look at the whole Brian McKnight and the estrangement from his kids, as someone that was facing death and now has passed on, I don't believe there was any ill intention behind what he was posting. I think he truly was like, "I'm going through probably the worst time in my life, and now I'm realizing what matters." And even with all of that was going on, Brian McKnight and his son remain estranged. Rest in peace to Nico. Nico was only 32 years old. According to reports, he was battling colon cancer. But in some good news, a family is reunited. As you know, Monique and her son, Shalon, had a very public back and forth. I think it was just last year. I can't remember. Like, time is just, especially with these hot topics. According to our friends over at Essence magazine, they said, "Comedian Monique and her eldest son, Shalon Jackson, have put their differences aside and reconciled after their public fallout in 2024. The Parker's actress shared an image of them hugging and laughing in a recent Instagram post where she says, "grateful" in caps, "I love us for real," the 57-year-old in her caption. And it was a beautiful moment. I didn't care about anything that happened last year or what was said, and because there was a lot said and there a lot could be said. But this is a mother and her son. Whatever issues that they have, that's between them. If they decide to resolve those issues and move forward, I think we should all celebrate that. But it didn't stop there, because Shalon took to social media to address their beef. And he's making a public apology to his mother, Monique.
I want to start this off by showing my gratitude towards my family. The amount of patience and grace that they have all shown me, especially during times where I did not deserve it, is appreciated more than I can ever express in words. Making those videos a year ago was a betrayal against our family, and I have to take full accountability for it. Why I made the videos and how I was feeling at the time when I made them is irrelevant. I made them, and I shouldn't have, period. My family did not deserve the backlash that they received from what I said. Having a life's resume with your family as the one in the family who simply just can't get right, and then finally doing what you're supposed to be doing, didn't give me the right to feel self-righteous when I felt like they didn't notice. My mother and Sydney were very justified to address my mental health condition at the time. I just simply didn't like it. Taking accountability can be hard if I allow it to be. Bottom line, I was wrong, and I shouldn't have said any of what I said. I should have just kept my mouth shut and called my mother. Having that family discussion was hard, and it felt like I spiritually got jumped, but at the end of the ass whooping, my family did pick me up and give me a hug. The love my mother has for her family and the way that she loves life is a testament to her husband. It's a very humbling experience when your little brothers have a valid reason to want to punch their older brother in the face. But it was my brothers who had the idea for us to have their conversation in person, which would prevent me from running from it. And even after they heard all the shit I put our mother through, they still gave me a hug, told me they love me, and then we laughed for the rest of the weekend. Who they are as men and who they are becoming as men is also a testament to the caliber of man Sydney is and has always been since I've known him. My mother wakes up every day with a smile on her face and nothing but joy to give, and I take full accountability once again for taking that relationship away from my children. Now, watching her take pride in making my son's baby food from scratch, to baking chickpea chocolate chip cookies with my daughter, to being with me the first time my son went underwater in the pool, makes me so happy to have been so wrong before. Life does have a way of showing up for you, even when you don't want it to. Making the decision to go no contact with my family hurt me more than I could have ever imagined, which in turn trickled down to me not being the best man, father, and future husband that I could be for my family. For those that use my words as a way to further a narrative that my mother is difficult to work with, that her husband is controlling, or that she is anything like the character that she portrayed in Precious, I also apologize to my mother for the things that you said about her. If it wasn't for me running my mouth, y'all wouldn't have ran yours. For those that left comments telling me that at the time I should not have been saying what I was saying, I appreciate you for holding me accountable. Whew. I owe it to my family to make this apology public, due to the fact that I made our family business public. Though the road to family redemption is hard, I'm looking forward to it. For those that showed me support at the time, but also put up prayers for us to work it out, thank you. Now, these are some receipts that I'm very happy to share. Thank you for listening.
First of all, let me just clarify something, because some people might be confused. Why does he look like he's reading a statement? If you follow the story from last year, he says he writes his words down and reads from a piece of paper because it's easier for him to be clear. And that's his way of communicating. Before we get into the jokes of, oh, she made him issue this apology. Who knows? But if he wants to make a public statement, he is a grown man making a public statement. And when we look at the reason why I paired these two stories together, literally they both happened this week. When you look at what Nico said at the last few months of his life in regards to his family, realizing what is important to him and what he really wanted, you look at the story with Monique and her son and his children and how they were able to come together and make peace. It doesn't always happen that way. I'm a big advocate, just because someone's blood or family doesn't mean that you should allow toxicity in your life. But it also doesn't mean that if there is a way, if there is a path forward possible, why not try? That is what it seems like Shalon, Monique have done. Will Brian McKnight do that with his other children that are still here with us? Well, that's up to him. And that is your weekend update. As you know, it's been very busy over here when it comes to the Diddy trial updates, which are also included here in the podcast with additional extended versions as well. But I'm trying to do the weekend updates when possible. I won't promise that especially now it's Pride Month. It's Pride Month here in the country, but it's Pride Month in general. So I might have things that I want to do on these weekends, and I won't have time to do a weekend update. But I had some time this morning to do a weekend update before I go meet up with family, and I wanted to make sure that I got this out to you guys. So please, again, give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. And don't forget the Kempire After Dark live show. It's coming to your city, Philly, on July 10th. Then we'll be in Atlanta on August 5th, then DC on August 22nd, and then back here in New York City on September 12th. Ticket information will be available in the description of this episode. Shout out to those of you that get into our weekend updates and are part of our podcast fam. And if you're listening to this on YouTube, make sure you go head on over to one of those platforms and subscribe there, because I can't promise you that everything that we do over there will be available over here. Anyway, thank you all for being here. I will see you all in the next one. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for tuning in to Kempire here on the Kempire Radio Network. As always, you can hear Kempire on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. More information can be found on KempireRadio.com.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1-pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility, to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.